Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Travis, what do you drink before you interview a yummy, buttery leading man actor? While you drink a lovely, buttery Cameron Hughes Chardonnay, that's what you do. Ask me what I'm drinking.
What are you drinking, Steph?
Lot 576.
Tell me about it. What does it taste like?
Well, Arroyo Seco Chardonnay, it's our all-time best-selling white wine, a universally loved crowd pleaser for all occasions. This one is from Monterey County. Love it up there.
That's by where I'm getting married.
This super fresh nose of honeysuckle, pear, and apple gains weight and complexity with a bit of air, adding papaya and orange creamsicle to the mix. OMG. That's why it's so delicious. Okay, are you ready for the million-dollar question? How much is it? $14!
I would have said $39 the way you described that.
I couldn't even wait for you to guess. Okay.
That's a deal.
I'm telling you, award-winning wine's half the price. That is what Cameron Hughes wine is. It is just, I don't know what else to say. It is the number one wine brand online, and that's for a reason. How does he do it? His secret lies in purchasing direct from high-end wineries all around the world and cutting out the middleman.
Yeah.
Not in a way that where the middleman's actually harmed. We're liberals. Yeah.
We want to protect the little man, but we also want to get a good deal on our wine, right?
There you go. There you go. His name is on it. It's there's a lot number, and then there's a dead-on description, so you know what you like, what you're drinking. And they are award-winning wines, and they are literally half price. Cameron Hughes, all about what's inside the bottle. No fancy labels or flashy website. Check it out. Go to CH Wine. See what I'm talking about. More specifically, CH Wine/Stephanie. You will be blown away by the value, the incredible quality of the wine. He stands behind 100% of every bottle he sells. His name's on it. There it is, Cameron Hughes. Do it right now. chwine.com/Miller or text my name, Miller, to 511-511. Receive 15% off and free shipping with your minimum three-bottle order.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to order a case of that so I can have it at my wedding overlooking the Monterey Bay.
Oh, my God. And people will think you're like a money bags, even though you're going to get an amazing deal.
Free shipping, 15% off, and $14.99 a bottle.
Hello, Mr. Big Shot.
Ridiculous.
Text Miller to 511-511. Get 15% off, free shipping with your minimum three-bottle order. That's chwine.com/Stephanie. Oh, let's do this with Mr. Yummy. Wow. Wow. He is startlingly handsome. Oh, hi, Chris Gorham.
Well,
famous actor. Happens to be blindingly beautiful.
That sounds nice.
We weren't given the right glasses.
It's like an Ugly Betty when you were Henry and you took your glasses off.
It's like, what is that? Who is that?
Yeah, what's the deal with actors that are unbelievably handsome and just think like, oh, I have glasses, so now I'm ugly. Just, we're all like, oh, shut the fuck up. You still
works
are
every
gorgeous.
Time. Works every time.
It's the Clark Kent Superman thing.
That's right.
Yeah, Christopher Gorham, ladies and gentlemen, known for The Other Side of Heaven, Ugly Betty, Covert Affairs. We should have him back when we have Malcolm Nance in so they can... CIA off. They can spy off.
Oh, that's good. We can spy off.
He's coming in tomorrow morning.
Brilliant. Ask him if he watched Covert Affairs.
How real was it?
Depending on how this goes, if you can just sleep it off.
We got an award in D.C. when we were on Covert Affairs, and I was there to accept it on behalf of the show, and I had someone from the agency come up to me during dinner and just kind of whispered in my ear, "You guys are way off." And then ran away. Like, she ran away.
Fuck, fucking spies. They're like ninjas. You
know? I was like, lady, it's a TV show. No, we know. It's okay.
It's okay. I watched a, because I've become a fan of you as an activist and on Twitter. And so I was watching a roundtable on MSNBC. A nice try, because you went scruffy and the glasses.
Oh,
nice
yeah,
try.
Yeah.
But you did not make the MSNBC Chris Hayes nerd model. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Wait, I tried. I just wanted to look smart.
But you were smart. In fact, I think you were talking about, you know, they say like acting's lying.
Yeah.
And I think you were talking about on this panel about how of all of the awfulness, it's just the blinding amount that we're lied to every day.
Yeah.
And what did it go up to now? Seven and eight times a day.
Seven, 8 times a day.
Which seems low to me.
It was like 4,000 something.
Yes.
4,200 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's shocking. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. Someone said it's not a lie if you believe it.
Right.
And which is kind of the sad, well, you know, because that's the sad thing about when people hear lies over and over and over again, then they just start to believe that it's the truth, and then it becomes the truth for them, and that's when things get really complicated and dangerous, I think.
I saw you commented on that rally. How about that rally?
Mm.
I think you just,
yeah.
Hashtag MAGA?
Yeah, question mark. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I do that a lot. You know, when I, you know, because I want to make a point without like yelling and screaming and like, you
right.
know, also giving my middle finger, which is sometimes what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. This was somebody said someone needs to collect their grampy. That was just one of the many people giving the one finger, including flipping the woman dressed like a picnic table. Pardon me. Okay.
Gotta go.
Gotta
Trump
go.
Tweeted.
It's Hollywood. Oh, it's a hotter actor. I gotta go. No, it's not. It's never a hotter actor, Chris. I went confrontational so we could have dramatic tension. I wore my USC t-shirt. You went to UCLA.
Yeah, but I noticed you left off the U is missing. It's just SC because it's not really a university. So I understand.
Wow, he nailed you.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
Really? That's how it's going to be? That's how it's going to be. Okay, first of all, since you're used to being lied to, I'm totally fucking with you. This is a Soul Cycle t-shirt.
Yes, eh?
I'm like 1,000. I went to USC like 1,000 years. Really? You think I'm one of those ladies that still has a USC t-shirt in 54? All right, but wait. You grew up in
like
Fresno.
Everyone outside of Southern California right now is going, what the hell are they talking about? What is happening over there?
Fight on.
This is California feuds.
Yeah. Oh, no, you got a degree in drama from UCLA, which is obviously somewhat more valuable than the one I got from USC, because I am interviewing me in my basement, and you
are
off to some
set somewhere. It's a nice basement
in
a very nice house.
Thank you.
I think you've done all right.
Thank you, Christopher. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to work in a basement.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm making shoes for Ivanka.
And these guys, I don't see any chain. Nobody's chained down here.
Yeah, right?
She lets us off when guests come.
He came back of his own free will. This isn't like Get Out. Because you just showed me the most hilarious picture of you guys on a balcony together when you were how old?
It was like 7th grade.
It was 7th grade, so like 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 87, so it would have been, right before I turned, 12.
Right school,
before I turned
so school trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was we went back to New York. It's a long, there's a long, complicated story, but the short version is we were on a school trip between 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah, somewhere between 7th and 8th grade.
Back to New York and D.C., kind of like one of those traditional, fancy school trips where you go back and you see Broadway shows, and you go and you see the Capitol. And
you look like you're going to be exactly who you grew into, and he looks like the nerd that he grew up to be.
It's true.
No offense, Travis.
I know, that picture, I'm standing on the balcony, we're on top of the World Trade Center in that photo, by the way.
Listen, Travis,
because you went to, like, the Fame High School. I assume there was an entirely nerd high school that Travis went to?
Well, I actually went to the super nerd high school and also, like, the Fame High School.
Okay.
Yes, I did both of those. He just went to, like, just a really solid high school.
Okay. Good school.
Clovis West, right?
You went to Clovis West.
Clovis West is a solid school. But by the way, Travis looks like the animated version of the Flash that I pretend to be. Like,
I'll take
the
that.
Dude is
he does.
Like,
I'll take that
and rip.
He does.
Yeah, because when he met me, I was a scrawny, really scrawny, skinny little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you cute, Travis. I'm just kidding. but you, okay, because that's what, all of those high schools, I'm like, oh, it's Fame, because that's what I grew up with,
I mean, mine was
remember,
kind of,
remember,
like, sophomore
remember.
Through senior year was kind of like that.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like that.
Yeah.
in Fresno, of all places.
I know.
But it was great. But we had some really talented people come out of there. Audra McDonald came out of there. Sharon Leal, myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so while in college, you participated in martial arts, stage combat, fencing, rollerblading, ballroom dancing.
Yes. Yes. I love the rollerblading.
Could you major
still
in those?
Around.
Yeah. You couldn't at USC.
No, those were all in like my on my special skills section on my resume for a lot of years.
Rollerblading. Isn't that usually bullshit? You're like, no one ever asked you to do it.
No, right? No one ever asked me to do any of that. That's true. The only thing I ever get asked to do is auctioneering.
Oh, I've heard that you learned that from your grandfather.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Talk
well,
fast.
Okay, so it's I can teach you the chant. It goes $1 bid, now two, will you give me two? And then the numbers change. So and then you just practice that until you can get going fast. So it's $1 bid, now two. I got $1 bid, now two, will you give me two? $2 bid, now three. I got a $3 bid, now four. I got a $3 bid, now four, and a four, would you give me four? And $4 bid, now five. And it just keeps going up and up.
Wait, can you do that and change bill to lie? And we can do that for Trump.
Yo, that's really good. Yeah, yeah. Let me think. Let me see. I got
one leg. I got two.
I don't know if I can do it.
Wow, that was. You could do the FedEx guy next time. That fast guy, talking guy. Is he still around?
I don't know.
That's your gig, man.
Yeah, that's. Yep. I'm gonna call my agent as soon as we get out here.
Let's do that.
Get a commercial gig.
Yeah.
This is the part that just makes me weep openly. I'm single. You'll be surprised to know.
Giving it before in the morning is not good for your love life.
No, that makes
I want
it
a
dumb.
Degree from USC Theater.
That makes it.
What? You proposed to your wife, Anel.
Anel, yes.
On a bench outside of Tiffany's on Rodeo Drive, where he made a picnic breakfast so that they could have a breakfast of his Tiffany style meal before going in and buying their wedding rings. They were college sweethearts.
That oh is my God.
So romantic.
That just made me moist like a water slide, and I'm
so
and I'm gay, but
and,
that just made me moist.
Let me tell you, were it true, then I would be deserving of a lot of credit. But unfortunately,
you've been married, and you have three kids. You're married how long now?
Yeah, 17? We have been married almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 And you still look like you're in high school. okay.
It's just because I shaved the beard. It's growing back.
That is fantastic.
For
yeah. Well, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hold that thought, Chris, while I switch to a lovely Pinot Noir from Cameron Hughes.
What?
Oh, my God. Lot 629. What? Ask me about the 2016 Santa Maria Valley Pinot Noir.
Wait, that's an award-winning wine?
Oh, yes.
And I bet it's a great deal because it's Cameron Hughes.
Oh, yes. Classically styled, it's a very pretty wine with a ripe fruit aromas, a black cherry, strawberry, and baking spice with a kiss of chocolatey oak. Medium full-bodied on the palate, it has pristine and elegant cherry fruit expression, true to its source.
You know what? Those are the exact same words I'd use to describe you, Stephanie.
Oh my God, thank you. I love this Pinot Noir. It is, ask me how much.
How much?
$18.
What?
I can taste this Pinot Noir. This is, and there are only under 200 cases available. I would hurry because they sell out of a lot of the best.
That's the thing with Cameron Hughes. Yes. If you find something you like, you order in bulk so you have it because it may not be there next time.
Yes. You will see right when you go to the website, it says it all right at the top. It says award-winning wines, half price. And that is exactly what it is. It is why it's the number one wine brand online. He goes to all the top wineries all over the world, boutique wineries. It cuts out the middleman. That's how he brings you all these wines direct to you at half the price. It is unbelievable. He's a guy.
He's a guy? He's a dude?
Cameron Hughes. Yes, he's handsome. Standing there in his vineyard with his glass of wine. He's coming down to do a tasting with us.
That I cannot wait for.
He searches for the best wines, bottles them, always keeps his sources secret so we can pass all that savings on direct to you. You will save at least 40% compared to purchasing the exact same wines in stores under their original labels. Cameron Hughes Wine, it's all about what's inside the bottle. No fancy labels or flashy website. You will be blown away. I've switched all of my friends to Cameron Hughes Wine. chwine.com/Miller or text my name Miller to 511-511. Get 15% off and free shipping with your minimum 3-bottle order. Text Miller to 511-511. You get 15% off the already amazing prices and free shipping. Why are you driving anywhere?
I am going to
pass out unless you do it right now. chwine.com/Miller. I know we have a lot of things in common in the sense that I loved the movie Boy Named Poe. You have a son on the autism spectrum, and one of my best friends is Steven Stills, who also has a son on the spectrum. And he does. I just went. I go every year to support his Light Up the Blues.
Yeah, great.
Autism Speaks, which is But I actually almost everyone I know It has someone touched by autism.
Yeah, well, I think
a
it's
nephew,
like one
son
in 68 yeah. kids now gets diagnosed with some form of autism, so yeah. it's prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but that was where, I mean, I the way you, and I know obviously your friend Alyssa Milano, the way you guys blend your sort of activism and your, I mean, it really is amazing. I know you were literally like physically driving people to the polls in Georgia for the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to give credit for that to Alyssa, who is just a rock star when it comes to political activism. She is all over the country, literally,
right.
helping candidates that she believes in. She's really active online. She's very outspoken, and she's smart. She knows what she's talking about. She's really impressive.
I'm so sick of that bullshit. They're like, oh, stupid actors, why don't they shut up? And I'm like, really? And meanwhile, Ted Nugent and, I don't know, Charlie
Chachi.
Daniels and Chachi, and who's the fucking underwear model that's running now?
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Really? He's running for something.
God bless him.
Okay.
Good.
I mean, and by the way, I hear you're shirtless in almost every scene, so you're even a better underwear model, and you're not even trying.
Yeah, it's like a recurring joke with my character on Insatiable. It's my new Netflix show that starts August 10th.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
That my guy, he takes his shirt off in every episode.
Yeah.
Any reason? Because
there's a reason. There's always a reason.
Yeah.
Of course.
Part of it is just that, you know, every character has some kind of hole that they're trying to fill.
Yeah.
Sometimes literally, sometimes yeah. mostly figuratively.
And I'm guessing a lot of the women around your character have a hole to fill.
And
what?
And what?
Although Alyssa Milano's character is kind of...
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a little...
Yep.
Okay. Can you tell us the plot line? Because it's kind of fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's a girl... Okay.
The simple version, it's a story. It's about self-discovery that's kind of cloaked within a dark revenge comedy
yeah.
that takes place in the world of Southern beauty pageants.
Yeah.
So in the pilot, you have the main character, Patty, who has been heavy and bullied severely her
right.
entire life.
Horrible fatty Patty scenes the whole
yeah.
first part of the trailer. You're like, oh.
It gets punched in the face, breaks her jaw, jaw gets wired.
Like, who wants to steal a candy bar?
Exactly. It's like a homeless guy out in front of the convenience store. So she gets her jaw wired shut, loses the weight over the summer, comes back. She's hot. And is being treated completely differently
sure,
by everyone,
sure.
which enrages her because she doesn't feel any different.
Yeah.
And so that kind of triggers her to go on this kind of revenge
yeah.
mission.
Yeah.
And she gets taken under the wing by Bob Armstrong, who's played by Dallas Roberts,
yeah.
Who is a disgraced lawyer who has a similar past of feeling very bullied and victimized, and is going to use her to regain his glory as the number one pageant coach in the South.
Can I just say, I am a sucker for pageant movies. I love Miss Congeniality, all of them. I don't even know how many there are.
Yeah.
They're all fantastic.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And Chris plays the rival lawyer.
Yeah, so I play kind of his antagonist,
yeah.
Who is the DA.
You have an Avenatti-ish.
I'm the one, I'm representing the homeless
you.
Guy when we take Patty to court. and a guy who is just desperate for attention.
So your argument is, if you just gave him the fucking candy bar, we could have avoided all this.
There you go, something like that.
Yeah, all
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I'm trying to bury her.
Oh, you go Southern on this one too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
you love the Avenatti though? I mean, in terms of, I love what he tweeted the other day. I know you follow Twitter.
Yeah.
You retweet a lot of the same people I do, but that he just said, when they go low, we punch harder. Like
yeah.
I feel like we're resonating with him, because I'm like, I love Obama, but we're in a different era, man, where we need to hit harder. We need to, it doesn't mean we need to lie and cheat and be awful like
yeah.
they are, but we need fighters like that, because
yeah, you know what, can I tell, I don't love him.
Yeah.
Like he,
yeah.
there's something about
well,
that
I do.
Guy, there's something about that guy that just, like, he makes me, I don't know. I don't click with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Ocasio-Cortez. The way that she...
Alexandria, yeah.
The way that she addresses these things, and the way, like, the stuff that she tweets out, like, that rings
yeah.
really
oh, I think
true
she's
to me.
Fantastic.
Like, I love her
she's
style
fantastic.
Because it's so, like, it's smart, and it's optimistic, and it's, like,
okay,
on brand, and... But also, like, well, punches you in the face.
Yeah.
But with facts.
Yeah. Here's what I love about you,
yeah.
among many things now. We have our differences over Michael Avenatti. That's okay.
He's yours to keep.
That's all right.
No,
you're a bad lesbian, but he's yours.
No, but the fact that you were out there for John Ossoff, and you've also, you just retweeted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez when she said, "I highly doubt Sessions and this administration who fought to ban Muslims from this country value religious liberty at all. They believe in and prop up false zero-sum world where the expansion of one's rights must come at the cost of another's. Vote them out in November." But I was saying, you know, we were just, it's interesting we're taping this today because they just testified that Russia's goal in these midterms is to exploit divisions on the left the same way they did in 2016. Yes. And this is what I love about you guys both being out there for John Ossoff. I will say, I'm a Hillary girl. I didn't appreciate Bernie saying John Ossoff wasn't progressive enough. I think that hurt him in that race. What I do like that Bernie's done since then is joined Kamala Harris and Cory Booker in campaigning for a lot of the other candidates that then won.
Yeah.
Meaning, if we unite, if we vote blue, no matter who, we win.
Yeah.
And I think that you can love a John Ossoff for his district and love an Alexandria Cortez
for
her district.
Well, that's, to me, like, I think it's so important, especially with the House races, to like, I hate the narrative that all, that this nationalistic narrative. I hate the narrative that, you know, when you hear talk show hosts talking about, but what is the Democrats' platform? It's like, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, look at these lunatics.
Because the Democratic Party isn't running in each of these districts. The candidates are running in each of these districts.
What,
and the districts are all different.
And that's what I love about Alexandria. She's not taking the bait. She went on CNN and they tried to bait her into this Democrats in disarray thing. She wasn't having it.
Yeah.
She said, "I'm a proud Democrat."
Yeah.
And like, well, you wouldn't, what you're doing in Iowa. She's like, "I'm not running in Iowa."
Exactly right.
You know, and she's like, "Respect the hustle. Here's my shoes that I wore holes through campaigning." You know, I mean... You know, look, Joe Crowley, I don't even know Joe Crowley, but he fell asleep on, you know, at the wheel, and he, that was disrespectful to not show up for a debate.
Yeah.
And to send an Hispanic woman to debate her, like, I'm a liberal woman, and that, I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And disrespectful to her, to your constituents,
you know.
You have
to have great candidates. She's a great candidate.
Yeah.
Speaking of great candidates, in Fresno, we've got
Andrew Jans. We've had him on. I love him.
Alyssa was up there with him yesterday.
Yeah, I was up there. I've been up there with him a couple of times. I've been to his office a couple of times. He has a really great staff working for him.
Yeah, we've worked with him.
And my God, like, he's, you know, this is a guy, like, another good example of a guy who I think is a good candidate for the district.
Yeah.
You know, prosecutor. Like, I love that he tweeted the other day when Trump, you know, talked about Sessions ending the Mueller thing. And he goes, yeah, a lot of the people I prosecuted want me to end my investigation prematurely, too.
Yeah. And he's running for the right reasons because he wants to serve his community. Mm-hmm. And he sees that the community is not being served by Devin Nunes. I mean, aside from what a total clown that guy is.
Don't even get us started. I don't. He belongs in prison. He doesn't he belongs in a house, but not the House of Representatives. I do think we were saying this on the show the other day. I think they're going to get to him. I think Mueller's got bigger fish to fry, but he has clearly been obstructing justice and conspiring. He's been, you know, improperly leaking classified information. I mean, he's he's acting as a you know, stooge of the White House, and you retweeted Andrew Jans, who said, "If your client conspired with a foreign power to rig our elections, then yes, that is a crime." About Giuliani, just what is Giuliani doing? He just moves the goalposts in every interview, and you're.
Well, no, I think it's clear what he's doing. He's trying to change public opinion. So if an impeachment happens, then they have support from their side of the fence, that they're trying to muddy the waters. They're trying to make the investigation seem illegitimate. Like, nothing he says is based in reality. It's all based on just trying to make people wonder.
Yeah.
So and by the way, like something that sticks in my craw all the time is vocabulary. Things like meddling, words like meddling.
Right.
Why are we using
that's
a word like
meddling?
Exactly right. Like, meddling is what I do when I'm like teasing my kid. Meddling is not what happened when the Russians attacked our elections. You know, they like, it's an attack. It's not a meddle. I don't understand why. I don't want to harp on the media a lot, but it bugs me why they just go along with these words that are given to them in a press release or I don't know what, and use them when it weakens.
Yeah, your former CIA operative Malcolm Nance.
Yeah,
often says that, but he just says, like, this is the biggest story in our history. This is the biggest, you know, counterterrorism, you know, story that has ever happened.
Yeah.
And I think the media still is in this, you know, they have some complicity in it. And also they don't want to, what were we saying? Like, Wolf Blitzer almost stroked out the other night when, who was it? Said Steve Cohen, representative.
Yeah, from Tennessee.
Yes, yeah, said, like, clearly Don Jr. and Jerry are going to be indicted. He's like, oh, what? Where are you getting that? You know, it's like, Wolf, are you paying attention?
Yeah.
Like,
and by the way, they will or they won't.
This is like, a huge international conspiracy to defraud the United States of America. Pay attention. Yeah,
thank God there's an actual legitimate investigation going on that seems to be like being done in exactly the right way, because we never hear anything from them until there's an indictment. So we'll find out. You know, there's so many hours to fill, like, in the media. I feel like they feel like they have to talk about something, and they get on to speculating about things that it's just, you don't need to speculate, and it doesn't do you any good.
Travis and my favorite story is that Bob Mueller bit a belt instead of having anesthesia during surgery after 9/11, because he didn't want to be unconscious when he was FBI director.
Oh, really?
And I picture, like, he still uses it. Like, every time Rudy's on TV, there's a new tweet, he's just like...
Get the belt. It gives a new meaning to give me the belt.
Yeah.
Just give me the belt.
Different than what we grew up with in Fresno, right?
What's that?
Different than what we grew up with in Fresno.
Yeah, exactly.
What? What was that?
Abuse.
Yeah. Would you two like a moment?
Spankings, beatings.
Oh.
No.
Oh, really?
No, I never got the belt. Okay. No, I got spanked, but I deserved it.
Yeah, me too.
Same here.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
There's something scarier than having your grandpa say to you, go get a switch.
Gotta keep
go get a switch.
Go get a switch off that tree.
I hear those stories.
That's raising a generation of dumb kids. Go get your own weapon of your own torture. Go get it. Yeah. I'm like, what? No. Yeah. Fuck you. I'm not going to... You're going to have to do some work if you want to beat me. Well.
I'm going
to
run while you're getting
catch
at
me. Well, you got to keep these Fresno farm boys in line, you know.
That's right.
Fuck up something on a tractor, get the belt.
It's serious.
It gets the hose.
You know.
So, all right, where were we? On the, okay. When you retweeted the snapshot from the rally, I mean, we were talking about this morning, and you tweeted about Q?
QAnon. Have you gone down that rabbit hole much?
No. No, I'm avoiding it.
Okay. Oh. QAnon goes mainstream. Trump's rallies are turning darker. You retweeted Jamil Smith, who said a conspiracy theorist is POTUS, so it seems natural many of them would attend his rallies. But the GOP has indulged these people long before they made space for them in public. These folks have been itching to behave this way. We should say as much. Not just enabled people to be openly racist, I guess, as they've always wanted to be and thought they had to hold it in.
Yeah.
But I feel like, how do we get these people back to just the world of reality, let alone debating policy?
Well, I mean, that's the thing I don't know. You can't get all of them back. And frankly, like, you don't have to. There's enough, it's the majority of the country is reasonable.
Yeah.
The majority of
that's
the country,
what I focus on is the empty seats there.
Yeah,
and look at the poll numbers; it's dwindling. Just, you know, there's more of us.
You have to fight the good fight. It's interesting. I read a book this summer. I was in Fiji doing a film,
right?
And I read this book called "Lies My Teacher Told Me" by James Lowen, and it just was so eye opening. And explained a lot to me about what's going on right now and how race is really kind of at the bottom of all of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because the way that we're taught history is so white and so ethnocentric that, like, racism is baked in to how we learn about our country. And in a lot of ways, we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, this white supremacist, the white supremacy has back and is strong and is alive and well in the White House right now.
Yeah. Went away. Just went under its rock, now his whole, he just tells it like it is. You have to be politically correct now. It's like, when did that become, like, saying the N-word is being, not saying is being politically correct. Like, how did we...
No, that's just spin, and it becomes an excuse to be racist and to feel that way.
My favorite cartoon right after the election was someone's like, does this hood make me look economically anxious? Like, the media's got to stop with these storylines. And every storyline is, how did liberals better understand these people and how we lost the angry white working class? It's like, what? I don't need to understand that.
I think it's understanding is good, right?
Right.
Understanding, I think, is always good. But that doesn't mean that you have to go along with it. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. I think it's good to understand where people are coming from, because then if you want to change their minds or if you want to outnumber them, then where they're coming from, so you know how to deal with it.
My point, Christopher, do we still have to debate Nazis, good or bad? Baby jails, yes or no? You say no. You've done some action.
Yeah. No.
Thanks for taking a stand on that.
Bad.
You tweeted, I went to a Families Belong Together organizing event today because I will not sit by while children are cruelly separated from their families in my country's name. That's what I think we have to keep saying. This is in your name. This is in your name.
Well, like, it's so upsetting to me when people say, well, this is not who we are. It's like, sorry, folks. This is who
now
we
it
are.
Is. Yeah. Until we change it in November, yes.
Until you do something different, this is exactly who we are.
How do you like that picture went all over the world, that Trump just...
Yeah.
This is us. This is America.
This is us. This is America, right?
Mm-hmm. And the guy on Sacha Baron Cohen's show with his pants dropped...
Have you seen
it? Yelling the N-word saying, I'm going to make you gay and put my butt on you, and I...
Yeah.
Okay. That guy.
But honestly, like, I think we have to... Like, the reason it upsets me when that gets repeated, this is not who we are, is because... Then this will continue.
Yeah.
As long as we have our head in our sand and keep telling ourselves that no, we're better than this, because we're not better than this because it's happening.
Yeah.
Like,
we were just talking about the environment. I was like, you know, talking about you guys going, oh, there must be something in the water in Fresno. And you're like, well, now there is lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't used to be.
No, used to be good.
Used to be minerals and it was delicious. And
straight
out
of the ground.
Drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, our infrastructure is falling apart and they want to build a $40 billion wall on the border to do nothing. We can't drink the water anymore,
so
folks.
What drives your activism? Because not all actors do it. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a few like you and Alyssa, but I mean, it's and sometimes they call it red carpet activism. Yeah. It's like to get good publicity or get a good picture or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, you really walk the talk, right? I mean,
well, I try to. I have three kids. My wife has always been very politically active. My parents were never outwardly political, but you know, they always voted, and they made me understand how important that was to participate in the democracy in that way. So I don't know, other than, you know, I just think it's too important to not say anything.
Yeah, and I love what you're doing, because you had also tweeted, House GOP refuses to renew election security funding as Democrats fume over Russian meddling. I mean, if ever we have felt like we got to do this ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do this ourselves. Yeah. We are going to have to, this time, learn a lesson about Russian propaganda. Don't let them divide the left. Get out in such numbers that they cannot steal this.
Yeah.
I mean, how about this skit today? Did you see the whole, Dan Coats and John Bolton and Sarah Huckabee Sanders coming out? Did you see her lecturing, reporters, don't ask about 2016. It's like, fuck you, Lydia. Don't... Fuck you, Aunt Lydia. Like, don't tell reporters what they can ask. But she literally was saying, oh, just focus on this. Don't ask any questions. And report. Thank God they defied her.
Yeah.
The Fox News guy defied her.
Because you go, that clearly was a skit. The whole, like, oh, we're very concerned. We've been working. We're very focused.
Yeah,
when all of them have testified, they're doing fucking nothing. As Conor McGregor would say, you're doing fucking nothing.
I mean, that's, I think, for people like us, have a really hard time understanding how people like Sarah Huckabee Sanders does her job. Like, how do you go out there and just obviously, provably lie?
Yeah.
About this that's so important to you that you're willing to do that?
Whiny fucking diaper baby screed about how mean people are to conservatives. She, like, read it. She obviously prepared it.
I
believe, as well as I know, I'm the only press secretary I've ever had Secret Service. It's like, really? You look at this rally, you thought, like, oh my God, is someone going to have to get Jim Acosta out of there?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just please with the civility police and the left are being uncivil, right?
Yeah, it's that's one of those things that muddies the water. That's one of those things that, like, becomes a story that gives the media something to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's this false equivalency that they, you know, want to throw out there. You know, the idea that there's always an equal side to,
yeah.
There's always two equal sides,
both sides
to every
do it.
Argument or
yeah.
Everything that's ever done or said.
That's the other thing that happened at this press conference. They were like, now, is there one side they're targeting? It's like, are you kidding me? Do you not fucking think we're paying attention?
Yeah.
Like, of course there's one side. They have co-opted not just the presidency, but an entire party in our country.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is Republicans that are in bed, right, with Russia. It is, you know, this cycle, Claire McCaskill, Jean Shaheen, Democrats who have been targeted thus far.
Listen, there's something about Trump that I think is really interesting. Because if, in my experience, when you've got a guy like that who is corrupt, who
yeah.
lies... I believe he assumes everyone else does the same thing.
Yeah.
When that's how you operate.
And thus I give you Crooked Hillary.
Yeah, you kind of assume that everyone else does the same thing. So, well, everybody's doing it.
Right.
But everybody's not doing it.
Money laundering. Everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. So how bad can it be?
Everyone scammed $60 billion from a shady foreign government
yeah.
to buy an ostrich coat. What?
I know. But it's tough because you never get to, like, the real issues. Like, you know, the Trump is saying that the media is the enemy of the people.
Yeah.
And they're
and by the way, Sarah Sanders would not disavow that today.
Right.
Would not disavow
it. I read about it.
Jim yeah. Acosta, would you like to say?
Yeah.
She would not say the press is not the
right.
enemy.
Which is disgusting. But... I also have complaints with the media.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the media is not this, like, perfect, beautiful thing up on the hill that never makes
big
a mistake.
Big part of how we got here. Anyone like, that gleefully
yes,
publishes these
yes,
stolen
are.
DNC emails participated
yes,
in this.
Yes, they're so, like, it drives me crazy when I hear folks in the media talking about government and talking about it as if it's a horse race. As if it's a basketball game, as if the game is the most important part of it, because they're like obsessed with the horse race of it. They're obsessed with the numbers
yeah.
and they're obsessed with the polls. And to me, that stuff matters to those campaigns, but shouldn't really matter all that much to the rest of us, because it's not a race.
Yeah.
Like, it's like who
well,
wins.
We're in a race for actually our democracy.
Well, that's the thing.
As we
like,
keep saying, like, America was attacked.
It's not a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so it frustrates me when they cover it that way. They,
yeah.
they seem more excited about the horse race than they are about the policy.
Yeah.
That's also how they get the ratings, because they keep things close. They make it sound
yes.
exciting.
Yes, and they gin it up.
That's
and
how this
you know,
happened. They all thought Hillary was
going
to win. They're like, let's just bloody her up, make it a horse race so we get ratings.
Yeah, and it's not,
or she's going to win. And
it's not
like,
you know, facts are being made up left and right. That's not what happens. It's about how they cover it. It's
yeah.
covering it like it's a war, like it's a race.
Yeah. You retweeted Andrew Jantz, who said, I just learned Twitter has shadow banned Devin Nunes for spreading fake news and Russian propaganda. You can't make this stuff up. Because, and that's not like a joke.
No,
he's
that's
retweeting Russian that's, propaganda because that's what he does.
Devin Nunes represents my parents
yeah.
in Congress.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's an embarrassment.
And by the way, like, everybody. You know, like my parents and their friends, from what I understand, all conservative. None of them voting for Devin Nunes this time around.
My dad ran with Goldwater. He was chairman of the RNC. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know from and my I call her my 95-year-old Trump voting Republican mom.
Yeah.
Fox News. But I really do speak to media. I say that all the time. I blame Fox News for a lot of it because it's mostly what she watches.
Yep.
And again, this is what I mean about how do we get our country back from just having one set of facts? How do you have a conversation with a QAnon person to go, well, no, John F. Kennedy Jr. is dead. he is in fact not leading a cabal with Trump.
Wow.
Oh, I guess we could ask
First
you
of all,
because
where
apparently
would a man
all
that handsome
Tom Hanks
be hiding out all this time.
Yes.
Tom Hanks and every Hollywood celebrity apparently is a pedophile. I guess you can speak to that, Mr. Hollywood, and all
is
your
that,
friends.
Tom Hanks has a child sex harem.
He does. Is
yeah,
your point that you're not?
No, no.
Is your point that you and everyone in Hollywood is not a pedophile? Is that what you're saying?
I do not have time for anything like that. I have a wife and three children. I have Like,
oh, three children.
Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Well, right away, that's... Okay.
No. No.
No, I was laughing. We were joking about this. One of my Facebook page was like, Stephanie Miller used to molest kids she babysit for in high school. And I was like laughing because, of course, I never babysat because I've never liked children.
never been nearly responsible
like,
enough to babysit.
And I thought it was funny, but I was like, oh, this is the thing that yeah. everyone on the left is a pedophile. I mean,
right. Is that from because of the James Gunn tweets?
No, this I hadn't even thought about James Gunn tying into that. No, this is QAnon.
And yeah, see, I've been totally out of the loop on this whole thing.
It just started in the last couple of days, and it's they believe that there's the liberal elite and Hollywood have been trafficking in child sex slaves, and John F. Kennedy Jr. did not really die. He's been working with Trump since the 80s to get him elected into office.
Right.
So that Trump could team with Mueller,
right.
who's not really investigating him. He's right. investigating the Clintons and the Obamas.
Hillary and Obama, and they're all going to end up in Gitmo. They're plotting to put them in Gitmo, along with John F. Kennedy Jr., who appears as a middle-aged man with a beard and glasses at Trump rallies. All right, listen,
and Tom Hanks has a sex harem.
Wow.
That's a lot to digest.
Wow.
No, but the whole reason we booked you, are you confirming or denying that you and everyone else in Hollywood is a pedophile? Or what's your point?
Listen, I have... No. No.
What?
That's just very upsetting.
When did you stop beating your wife?
No,
your childhood
my God.
Sweetheart. What?
Insatiable. Netflix starting August 10th.
Okay, can
that's
I
a
just
safe
say,
word. Insatiable is
your
a
first,
safe word.
Your first job was as an intern on Baywatch. This is
yeah, that's true.
This is magically first circle because
Alexander
Paul was on Happy Hour, and I just saw her last weekend. What does being an intern on Baywatch entail?
Well, it's I spent a week in each department.
Yeah.
So I would be in the music department, and I was in casting. They didn't let me in wardrobe.
Yeah, I was gonna. I wondered if that was because pageant girls they have to pull their suits down because they ride out.
No, but I got. But I was on set and I was there. I don't know. It was probably a month or 6 weeks or so. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
was actually my first professional audition because
for a straight guy, you're
casting
like,
to let me audition for like a one line role as the swimmer. And so I showed up in a Speedo for the audition and then didn't get the part. It was really sad. It's a sad story.
We were skinny kids. We were talking about how hard it is to...
Yeah.
Oh, could you break out the tiniest of violins, Sean, for poor Christopher Gorham?
There we go.
Who objectified himself.
That's right.
Why are you objectifying yourself? Why are you objectifying yourself?
I am so
showed
objectified.
Up in a
now you're objectifying
show,
yourself
by the way.
In this show.
Yeah.
I felt awkward that's looking at you. I'm just going to say that.
Right? Sorry.
I was like, whoa.
So degrading.
Yeah.
But God bless you for staying. I'm looking at another one of your tweets. GOP tax cuts are doing exactly what they were designed to do. I mean... You're not just giving lip service. Like, you're paying attention. You know, of course these taxes... Now they're trying to do another one, and they're not going to... They're going to shareholders.
Of course they are.
I mean, it's just...
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're for. You know, you know, this idea that trickle-down economics is a thing that works and makes the economy great, like, has been long ago disproved. But here we are, that you know, they're trotting out the same old arguments and...
Yeah.
I mean, it's the definition of insanity, right? You keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. It's the same exact result.
Yeah.
And it honestly, like, it breaks my heart. Yeah. It breaks my heart that you have so many people who are voting for Trump, who are voting for the GOP, truly believing that their interests are going to be addressed and that they are looking out for them. And they're not. They're just not.
Yeah. I mean, what is Trump at the rally going, oh, these farmers, they say they can take it. Like, it is such a cult of personality now. The people that are losing their jobs and their livelihoods because of him, some of them still defending him.
Well, and again, like, it goes back to race. Like, we're at a really important period of change in our country where the entire demographics of the country are changing. Mm-hmm. And
thank God.
Listen, it scares. Well, it scares a lot of people. Like, it scares not a lot of people. It scares a lot of white people.
Yeah.
Because we've had it really good, and because white people have been taught through culture and in school to believe explicitly or implicitly that we're better than everyone else.
Yeah. Clearly so not. If you look just at pictures of that rally, clearly not.
But you know, like that's when that is a core belief. You know, whether or not it's something that you speak out loud or
yeah.
But when you think, like, if that's a core belief of yours, that's a really hard thing to change.
Chris, a lot of people talking about this just a headline. I can't remember where it was. It says, you know, Barack Obama endorses controversial rapper. And they're like, you left out that he's a Harvard graduate, a Rhodes Scholar, yeah. An important, you know, like, has had an amazing legal career. He was a rapper for a short time, but I thought, man, just whatever's clickbait.
Yeah.
That's how we got here.
Yeah. Well, it's fear, right? Oh, white people are scared of rappers, so we'll use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It makes
me
sad. But,
you know, that's the other thing is that a lot of times we go, like, sometimes right-wingers, like, they only care about stuff when it affects them, when they have a gay kid, when they have a whatever. I mean, you know, you've spoken out about Obamacare ACA repeal because how that would affect your son who has autism.
Yeah.
But you also speak out for a lot of people that you don't know a brown kid in a cage. But you care about it, and you're out there trying to raise money for them to get lawyers to get the brown kids out of cages and stop being sexually abused and killed and drugged, right? I mean,
I joined a group in my community called Rise to Reunite, and we started a GoFundMe to raise money for a group called Al Otro Lado that provides legal services to these families that have been forcibly split up at our border to try and reunite them. You know, we've still got hundreds of kids who have been taken, kidnapped from their families.
Yeah.
And you know, these kids need to get back. Like, as soon as possible, we need to get them back to their families. It's unconscionable that
The fact that, of course, they were warned. Of course Trump was warned of the consequence. They don't care. They don't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He does. I really don't think that he cares. I met him once.
Wait, what?
Oh, wait a minute now.
I met him.
Wait, here's the big finale for the happy hour.
I did. I met him
when
I was on a show on NBC called Medical Investigation. I met him at some NBC thing.
That was back when The Apprentice was probably on.
It was. The Apprentice was on. Our show was coming on after The Apprentice, and I went up, and I was kind of excited to meet the guy, and, you know, and shook his hand.
It was in the pre-Hitler years.
Told him, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he told me our show was going to be a big success. He was wrong. He was wrong. We were not
one of the first
success.
Of many things he was wrong about. Yes.
Yeah. But that guy who, like, back then in the little short time when I met him, totally unrelated from politics, only having to do with TV shows.
Yeah.
Was the same dude. Like, you know, he says the same, he said the same thing to
same
me
shit.
That he says to everyone. You're going to be a big success. You're going to be, and it feels good.
Right.
And it's completely disconnected with anything that he's actually doing. It means nothing.
Right.
It's only
it's
designed
con.
To make
con.
You feel good. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
You're going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm going to be great. It's all great. He says it all the time.
Right. I mean, when he was like, oh, I hate when they say the elites. We have better jobs and apartments and whatever. We're the elite. You're the elites. And you look out of this rally, you're like, no, those are not the elites.
But people want to hear that.
I don't get. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I don't get how they think they're like him or he's like them. Like, he's a fucking coastal elite there was one.
I mean, that's race baiting, right? It's like we're the best ones. We're the best.
Yeah.
Us. Like, he doesn't say we're the best because we're white, but it's an entirely white crowd.
Yeah.
And he's telling
except for that one guy that gets paid that's always behind him. That guy.
Yeah, well, that one guy.
Blacks for Trump.
Yeah.
That guy.
It's and again, like, it makes me sad. Like, because there's so much opportunity to do so much good, and it's so frustrating and depressing when the system gets hijacked by guys like him.
Yeah. You know, there's only one thing to be done now for America, Christopher Gorham.
Yeah.
And that is for you to come back and bring your friends America Ferrara and Lisa Milano on the same happy hour.
Yeah.
Before the midterms.
Oh, my God. Those two.
It's not about me.
Aren't they
Chris,
impressive?
It's not about me. Focus.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's for America.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
For America Ferrara?
Yes. It's for you to bring other fantastic, beautiful activists like you, like Lisa Milano. And America Ferrara, all of your co-stars, back here to the Stephanie Miller Show. That's what America's about, Christopher Gorham.
That's America.
And also watching Insatiable on Netflix.
Yay!
His new series coming out, which looks honestly fantastic.
It comes out next Friday.
Yep.
August 10th.
Yep.
1 week from the day this drops.
Yep.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just don't start watching it too late at night or you're going to be up all night.
But you will have no chance to watch that if America ends because Christopher Gordon does not bring Alyssa Milano.
America's not going
to
end.
America Ferrara back here to the Stephanie Miller Happy Hour.
We're going
to
right the ship.
All right. But only if you... Okay. I love you, Christopher Gordon. Happy Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.